You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
You've heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's the ultimate excuse for staying exactly who you are. We use it to justify our short tempers, our secret addictions, or that cynical edge we just can't seem to shake. But then you come to Christ. You hear the preacher quote 2 Corinthians 5:17, "The old is gone, the new has come." You feel the rush and you think, this is it. The slate is clean. I'm a new person. And for a week, maybe even 2 weeks, it feels true. And then Tuesday morning happens. You're running 5 minutes late. You're sipping your coffee. You're trying to listen to a worship song. And someone in a beat-up sedan cuts you off and then has the audacity to brake check you. And right there, in that split second, the new creation disappears. The worship music feels like a mockery. That old version of you, you know, the one with the white-knuckle grip and a vocabulary that would make a construction foreman blush, that guy suddenly takes the wheel. You feel the heat rise in your neck. You want justice. You want to honk. You want to make sure that they know exactly what you think of them. And right about then, the guilt hits. You look at that cross hanging from your rearview mirror, or you think about the fish sticker that you have on your bumper, and you think to yourself, am I really even a Christian? I mean, I don't get it. If I'm a new creature, why did that old guy just show up so fast? The truth is, this kind of thing happens to every single one of us. And it makes us ask this question, why does God leave us in this tension? You know, if he has the power to save our souls for eternity, why doesn't he just delete our desire for road rage and our craving for those old sins the moment that we say amen? Today, we're diving into a concept that we call a new nature with old habits. We're going to look at why your muscle memory is actually working against your spiritual identity. And we're going to find out if that guy who just got cut off in traffic is actually a hypocrite, or if he's just a soldier in the middle of a very long war. When the Bible talks about being new, it uses a specific word in the Greek. The word is kainos. Now, there are actually two words for the word new in Greek. One is neos, which means new in terms of time, like a new iPhone that's just a slightly better version of the old one. But kainos means new in nature or quality. It's a completely different kind of thing. And according to the Bible, when you trust Jesus, you don't just get a software update. You get a hardware replacement. You get kainos, not neos. It's that split second, that moment where you become alive. You are born again. But this is where the tension lies. Your spirit is made new, but your flesh, the Greek word is sarx, actually remains. Now, when Paul talks about the flesh, he isn't just talking about your skin and bones. He's not talking about just your body. He's talking about your unredeemed humanity, your old nature, your old person. He's talking about the neurological pathways you spent decades carving into your brain. Think of it like a canyon. Every time you lost your temper or reached for a drink to numb the pain or looked at that website, you were pouring water down a trail. And over 20 years, that trail became a deep, jagged canyon. Let's keep going with this visual. So the moment you became a Christian, God changed the source of the water. But look, the physical canyon, if you can even call it that, those neurons in your brain, that canyon is still there. The water is still going to want to flow down the old path because it's the path of least resistance. Theologians call this the already but not yet. You're already legally righteous in the courtroom of heaven, but you're not yet fully transformed in your daily practice. You're a king living in a body that still thinks it's a slave. And nobody felt this tension more than the Apostle Paul. Let's look at a passage that's perhaps the most raw moment in the entire New Testament. I'm talking about Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25. Paul writes this, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." Now, can we just be honest for a second here? Is this not the most relatable verse in the Bible, right? Paul, the guy who wrote literally half the New Testament, the guy who saw visions of heaven, is essentially saying, I'm a walking contradiction. And he continues in verse 22. He says, I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And then he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? I mean, think about the imagery there. Paul calls it a war. This isn't a minor disagreement. It's a bloody, internal civil war between your old nature and your new nature. Now, when Paul says, who will free me? The Greek word for free refers to a soldier being rescued from a lost battle. He feels like he's losing. And I know that's how you and I feel a lot of times as well. If you feel like you're losing the battle against your old habits today, you and I are in good company. We're literally in apostle level company. But notice what it says in verse 25, in answer to the question, who will free me from this? It says, thank God, the answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, now let's just stop for a second, because the skeptic in the room, or maybe the skeptic in your own head, is saying, wait a minute, this sounds like a massive cop-out. Are you telling me that I can act like a jerk? I can stay stuck in my addictions? I can just blame it on my old nature while claiming to be new? Like, this is just I prayed that prayer and now Jesus saved me so I can just go live however I want. Now, that's a fair pushback. If there's no visible change, the question is, was the new nature ever really installed? And here's the difference. A person with only an old nature sins and enjoys it. Or maybe they sin and they're just worried about getting caught. But a person with a new nature, I want you to hear this, a person with a new nature sins and it grieves them. And so that's one of the differences. We have this battle going on. And because of this battle, it's like our conscience is awakened to the truth of God and to the things that please God and the things that don't please Him. Now, I think we could see pushback from the other side. Some people might say, well, wait a second. If God is real, then why isn't change just instant? Well, here's a good way to think about it. When you put your faith in Jesus, in an instant, He gave you a new nature, but He didn't destroy your old nature. Okay, that seems clear from the Bible. So it's not like He's tearing down your old house and putting up new rooms and things like that. The better visual is He built a brand new, beautiful mansion right across the street. It's done. It's finished. It's ready for you to move into. But you have to make the decision to go across the street and live in that new house. And you can also make the decision at times to go back to the familiar old ways of the old house. Even though it's nasty and filthy and dirty, there's something about it that must still be comfortable to you. And this is the struggle that Paul describes in like Galatians chapter 5, when he talks about your old nature and your new nature. He wouldn't have to write those things if the Bible said that God destroyed the old house when you became a Christian. Apparently, that's not how it worked. He still gives you a choice. He's made you new, but you still have to learn to live in that newness. And the struggle that you feel isn't proof that you are not a Christian. Actually, the struggle is proof that you are a Christian. Because before you met Jesus, there was no war. There was no battle. There was only surrender. But now, this is the cool thing. Now that you're a Christian, there's a fight. The fact that you're bothered by your old habits is the first sign that the new nature is taking root. So how do we actually move the needle? How do we make a habit of moving into that new house and leaving the old house behind? Well, one of the answers to that is to understand what's called the habit loop. Every habit follows a pattern: trigger, routine, reward. So let's say that your old habit is gossip. The trigger is a lull in the conversation at lunch. The routine is sharing a prayer request that is actually just juicy information about a coworker, right? Have you ever been there? And the reward is the hit of dopamine you get from being the person in the know. It actually makes you feel significant for about 5 seconds. That's how gossip works. Now, as a Christian, you have a new nature now, but your brain is still wired for that dopamine hit. So to change, you have to reckon yourself dead to that old habit. In Romans 6, Paul uses that word reckon. It's actually a financial term. It means to count it as a fact. You have to look at that urge to gossip and you have to say, wait a second, that person who needs to feel significant through gossip, he's legally dead. I don't owe him anything anymore. This is what we call reprogramming your mind. It takes practice. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says he disciplines his body like an athlete. Athletes don't get good by trying hard once in a while. They get good by training hard every single day. You don't break an old habit just by saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. You break that habit by replacing it. You need a new routine and a better reward. Instead of gossip, the new routine is asking a genuine question about the person you're talking to, for example. And the reward then is a real connection rather than a cheap thrill. We've covered a lot of ground today. We looked at the Greek kainos, your brand new identity. We looked at the war in Romans 7. And we looked at the hard work of retraining your muscle memory. But let's go back to finish today. Let's go back to that Tuesday morning, right? You're in the car. That beat up sedan just cut you off. Your old nature is screaming for you to lay on the horn and roll down the window. The adrenaline is pumping. That old guy is reaching for the wheel, right? But this time, you pause a beat. You hear the Holy Spirit whisper, that's not who you are anymore. And in that moment, you have a choice. You don't try to be nice. You reckon the angry guy dead. You consider that guy dead. You recognize that's the reality in heaven. He's already dead. Even though here on earth, there's still a battle. So you take a breath. You let that car go. And here's the decisive ending. Maybe you even pray for the person in that car. I'm not talking about a sanctimonious prayer, but a real one. Realizing that they're probably having a worse morning than you are. So you bless them instead of cursing them, which is exactly what Jesus would have done if he'd been driving the car. Now, the victory isn't that you didn't feel the anger. The victory is that the anger didn't drive the car. Your old habits are like a suit of clothes you've worn for 20 years. They're comfortable, even if they're tattered and smell like garbage. God has handed you a royal robe. It feels stiff at first. It feels like it's not really you or your style. But the more you wear it, the more you realize, this is who I was always meant to be. Stop trying to improve your old self. That's the message of the Bible. You know, that version of you that was crucified with Christ. Instead, start becoming who you already are in him. If you're in the middle of a Romans 7 war today, don't give up. The war is proof of life. Keep training, keep reckoning, keep leaning into the Spirit. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now go live like it.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.